performance from Cameron Smith at the Century Tournament of Champions last week. Just put on a clinic of birdies and eagles and low scores, sneaking out the W. Some fish, yeah, sneaking out the W over world number one, John Rahm. He truly put on a clinic. He will be back in the field this week. The Sony Open in Hawaii, not surprisingly, the betting favorite at the moment. And a man who's back on our show for the first time in far too long from Golf Talk Canada, our golf analyst here at TSN. It is Bob Weeks. How are you, Bob?
I'm great, boys. How are you? Happy New Year.
We're good.
We're cold, Bob.
Yeah, it is too cold. Actually, on the subject of the cold, I'm sure you and Zacchino and Adam Scully, the Golf Talk Canada team, you have some kind of group chat. How many times has Zacchino sent you pictures and videos of his delightful time in Hawaii so far?
far too many. In fact, last week, just to rub it in, you know, we do our weekly edge picks. Last week, to rub it in, he did it like standing on the fairway wearing sunglasses.
That is a jerk move.
What a
hey, hey, if he's got a chance to take advantage of it, I'm pretty sure you would too, right, Bob?
I jump all over it. You know, I think I have covered every PGA Tour event of note, except I've never been to the Hawaii event, so I envy Mark.
Yes. Come on, TSN. What are we doing here? We gotta get the complete gamut of PGA Tour events for Bob Weeks. So we mentioned Cameron Smith, the betting favorite at the Sony Open. You have guys like Webb Simpson, Sung J.M., Hideki Matsuyama at the top of the list as well. But also at the top of the list is Corey Connors, who's looking for his second PGA Tour victory. What do you make of his chances this week, Bob, considering, you know, this course could set up well for him?
Yeah, I think as opposed to last week where you could sort of land a fighter jet on the fairways, they were pretty big, but this one's more of a ball striker, so you got to kind of put it in the fairway and put it on the greens. Greens are a little smaller, fairways a little tighter, and that plays right into Corey Connors' strengths. You know, he is a supreme off that tee and into the greens. He's, I think, inside the top. I think he was fourth in fairways in regulation and 13th in greens in reg last year. The putter, of course, will always decide what happens to him. But, you know, he's really made some steps up. He's worked hard on that. He's worked hard on his wedge game. Those are the two weak points that he has. And you can see the improvement. It's you know, he went from 181st to 112th 2 years ago to last year in terms of putting. And he's kind of moving in the right direction. So, I like his chances, and I it's interesting. I had a talk with Webb Simpson in late November, and I said to him, "What, you know, he knows Corey well. They play some practice rounds together through their RBC connection." And I said, "Well, you know, what does Corey need to do to take that next step? Because he's basically inside the top 40 in the world. He's a class player." And he said, "He just needs to get into Sunday afternoon a lot more and just feel what it's like, get comfortable when you're in the hunt." And I think that's something that that Corey knows and Corey wants to do. So maybe that'll start this week.
Bob, we saw the season kick off last week at the Century Tournament of Champions, and you know, Cameron Smith winning, John Rahm put up a very impressive performance as well, losing by one stroke. But when it comes to John Rahm, what expectations do you have for him this season? Because here's a guy who clearly started to click late into the golf season last year, and you know, it looks like he's carrying the momentum right into this year. Is this a guy we could see win multiple tournaments this year?
I don't see any slowdown in John Rahm's game right now. I mean, he doesn't really seem to have a weak point. I mean, you know, yes, he finished second, but what was he, 33 or 34 under par? I mean, that's ridiculous. I like the fact that he's still hungry. I like the fact that he is still kind of focused on major championships and wants to get himself into that level a little bit more after the U.S. Open win last year. He's you know, you look at where he's finished, not so much the wins, but look the top tens that he's had in the last year or so. It's just kind of almost Nicklaus-like. You know, he's always up around the top of the leaderboard, and he's going to be tough to knock off from the number one spot if he keeps playing like that. And we'll see. You know, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of hard work. You see guys like Dustin Johnson, who held on for a while and now has kind of dropped off. And I always remember Nick Price telling me, he says, the only thing tougher than getting to number one in the world ranking is staying at number one in the world ranking. So, but I don't think John Rahm's going anywhere for a while.
Bob Weeks from Golf Talk Canada, our TSN golf analyst, is our guest here on First Up. Big news in the golf world yesterday, Bob, had to do with Netflix and the PGA Tour, the big kind of release of the news about who would partake in this upcoming Netflix documentary series. And I don't know if you've seen the Drive to Survive, the F1 series, but the producers do an absolutely remarkable job bringing you compelling content behind the scenes. To say I'm excited for the PGA Tour version would be a massive understatement. What intrigues you most about the potential of this idea, Bob?
There was one line in the release that I loved that to me is going to be the key, and that is that the PGA Tour is not going to, you know, restrict or oversee the content. So there's no restrictions on what the golfers can do or what they can say, and I think the golfers are smart enough to know that they're not going to, you know, put themselves in any kind of crazy danger. But I think that, to me, is great, because that's what made Drive to Survive so good. It was that you really heard and really got to know who these guys were. And you look at, I mean, Formula One, I never watched Formula One before that, I got to be honest, and now I'm just a hardcore fan. And if you look at some of the players who are on the list of guys who are going to talk, there's a really good mix. I know a lot of people wanted to see Bryson on there, but if you look at, you know, you look at some of the guys who are in there, like a Tommy Fleetwood, if you don't know him, he's great. Harry Higgs, we know a little bit about him. Max Homa, I mean, some of these guys are really going to drive, I think, the entertainment value. And you'll get some good stuff out of guys like Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Bubba Watson. But I think they've got a really good mix of players out there, and I'm more than excited to kind of see this thing like you are.
Well, Bob, I'm glad you brought up how, you know, intent you are now in Formula One because of that series. And honestly, if you look at the impact that series has had just on the Formula One world with their audience, it's been there's been a massive change in the audience that watches Formula One right now because people understand the life of a Formula One player. Do you think and expect that golf is hoping for the same sort of reaction here? And we're seeing, you know, a new generation of golfers come and share their interest in the game of golf. But do you think that they hope for more people to start trending towards the game of golf once they start learning more about the sport and the livelihoods of some of the players we're going to get a firsthand look at?
I think there's two sides to it. I think there's the participation fact, whether this will actually drive people to go out and play golf more. I think the PGA Tour's big aim is to try and get people to watch golf a lot more, get those ratings up. I mean, they're signing new broadcast deals. They're allowing, for the first time last year, we're starting to see legalized betting and wagering and on golf now. So all those things are kind of catching up to speed with a lot of other sports. But I think this is more to try and peel back the layers on who these guys are, because you don't really hear or see a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you see them for little clips after they're around. You don't get to know them. I think some guys have done a really good job on social media. Max Homa is a great one. Joel Damon's another great one. Guys like that who kind of really have fun with it and aren't afraid to kind of expose who they are. And I think that, to me, is what's going to drive this series and potentially bring a lot more fans into it. And you might have a lot more people who love Harry Higgs, who didn't even know who he was a year ago. So that's the kind of thing that I think you'll see.
Overdrive turned him into a celebrity, didn't they?
Exactly. Bob, I speak for all of us. We don't need more people playing golf. The competition for tee times is already...
Yeah, we need more golf courses.
We need more golf courses? That's right. I know they're talking about like converting. Like, why don't you tell... Actually, I did see you tweeting about this. Don Valley, some of the Toronto public municipal courses. There was some kind of meeting recently about their future. And that's obviously so important for so many people in the city who love golf and have access to those courses. What's the latest on that?
So there was a committee meeting, the Infrastructure and Economic Committee of Toronto City Council, which looks after the golf courses. They had commissioned a report on the 5 golf courses and what should be done with them. And the report came back with I would say, generally positive sentiments. The only thing that was kind of controversial was part of it was to take Dantonia Park and turn it into a 9-hole course rather than an 18-hole course. And so there were a lot of people who were allowed to speak at this meeting. I was one of them. And you heard from both sides. There were some environmental proponents who wanted to turn these back into just green space, or people who wanted to link, you know, bike paths so they go through and they don't have to deviate off because of a golf course. And at the end of it, though, there were so many passionate people on this call, and not people like me and Lorne Rubenstein, you know, Hall of Famers. It was more like the guy who said he lives in subsidized housing and he takes the bus to play at Scarlet Woods.
Yep.
Or a woman who said, I go to Dantonia Park and during the pandemic, I play in this ladies league and I don't know what I would have done without this league.
Yeah.
So in a good way, what ended up happening was this committee put the recommendation forward to Toronto City Council for a final vote. And the courses, the D'Antonia clause was removed, so it's going to stay at 18, or at least they're recommending it is. And they're recommending that they spend a little money on these golf courses and try and fix them up. 195,000 rounds played on the five courses last year, guys. So that shows you just how much enthusiasm there is for golf at these city courses right now, and certainly during the pandemic.
For sure. And listen, we're fortunate enough to all be members at golf courses, but there are so many people out there who aren't or don't have the same accessibility to golf that we do, and they use these city courses as their outlets, not only to play the game they enjoy, but the mental health aspect I think is massive, and the physical health, walking the courses and everything like that, to understate how important these are for the city, for the people who live here. I mean, I think would be doing everyone a disservice. So I'm really glad that that is the case, Bob.
And there's a happy medium there. You know, they're gonna open these courses up like in the winter right now. They've got paths where people can go and walk and cross country ski and snowshoe around on these courses. So let's not make it all just about golf. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you can open it up and you can share the space. But hey, I got my start in this business as a 15-year-old working in the back shop at Scarlet Woods. So I have a real special place for me. For public course. I know Mark Sacchino did the same thing. I know Lauren Rubenstein did the same thing. So good memories from my days at Scarlet Woods.
First time I broke 90 at Don Valley, so some lateral hazards, of course.
I lost the ball.
I'll just drop it here. It's all good. No worries about that. Bob, thank you for doing this. Why don't you give us your number one pick? If you were to advise our audience to bet on one player at the Sony Open, who would it be and why?
I'm going with Webb Simpson. He's 11 for 11 and making the cut at this tournament. His last three starts, he's finished fourth, third, and fourth.
There you go. I mean, can't beat that. I'm sure Corey Connors is listening. Won't be impressed he didn't pick him, but in any case, maybe a sprinkle on Corey Connors as well.
You can
make it out of.
Hey, new year, new season. Let's go Canada in the golf.
Yes, let's go, boys.
Yes, sir. All right, Bob, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
See you, Bobby.
Thank you, too. That's Bob Weeks from TSN, of course, one of the hosts of Golf Talk Canada, alongside Mark Sacchino and Adam Scully. We'll be back to wrap things up on a jam-packed edition of First Up on this Thursday morning, right after this.